With us now today is Brandy Madaw, and she is the case manager for St. Joseph's Apartments for Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Covington. Brandy, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
We're fine. You know, one of the things that's been showing up in the news lately, of course, this is on our side of the river, is just the shortage of housing for the poor.
Absolutely.
You know, it appears, now, of course, in the Cincinnati side and probably the Covington, there's a lot of gentrification going on where people are taking neighborhoods that were predominantly neighborhoods where the poor left, and they're coming in and fixing and renovating and, of course, usually doubling, if not tripling, the value and the price. But the poor need a place to live, and if they get pushed out of there, where do they go? And this is, I think, a big thing. I know we're facing it in Cincinnati. What's the state of that over there in Covington and in Newport?
Pretty same. A lot of our partners, we actually partner with some of the Cincinnati agencies as well as Northern Kentucky. So we sit around the table quarterly and try to figure out what can we do as workers to kind of change that mentality. And it's definitely what you guys are seeing in Cincinnati as well. We're feeling in Northern Kentucky. You know, and a lot of times folks get ran out of Cincinnati and then they come over to Northern Kentucky, and then it gets, you know, there's an influx of homeless, and then we, you know, unfortunately, the governments, the way they work, they end up pushing them right across the river, and it's kind of a back-and-forth mentality until these folks can get, you know, an opportunity into some sort of housing.
Well, and people don't, I don't think, realize it until you're homeless, that if you don't have a home, it's very difficult to have a job. Well, you need to have a permanent address, and the address isn't a 77 Chevy with the license number this, this, and this. It needs to be a residence. And so by not having a home or an apartment or someplace they can call their own, it definitely makes employment a very challenging thing.
Yeah, on top of the basic living needs, I mean, you and I can go and travel somewhere, stay in a hotel, we can get our shower, we can be refreshed for the next day, you know, but these folks don't even have a place to, you know, wash their clothes, even brush their teeth, you know, get ready for that next day, even if they don't have that opportunity either. So it's just a ripple effect. No housing equals a lot of other things on top of it, and it's just hard to also, you know, have them concentrate that there is something, you know, they hold on to your faith because it's going to get better. And, you know, they hear me preach that all the time, but until they actually start to see it working in action, it's really hard for them to get out of these ruts too.
Well, can you describe for our listeners what the Catholic Charities Supportive Housing Program is?
So Catholic Charities owns an apartment complex that is ran off of a continuum of care grant for Kentucky Housing Corporation. It has 16 two-bedroom units. We take folks that are currently in the homeless state, either on the streets, in the shelters, living out of their cars, and they have to be a family unit with a disability, and then we place them in housing, and then start right away providing supports with them. So it's income-based housing, includes all your utilities, and so they start at their minimum with nothing, and then we work with our community partners to build up their home, help them get the confidence to get back in the job, get the kids settled in school, and so forth. And then as they increase income, rent will increase, and then they get used to making those monthly payments and back on schedule paying bills again. And really, the goal is to become self-sufficient at one point, but there is no time frame. That's one of the greatest things about this program is there's no time frame.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Is there a limit to how long that they can stay there before they have to move on? So it's a good thing that you're patient with them. And again, people learn in different ways and to teach the skills. Now, when you talk about a family size, it's just a mother, a father, and they could just have three people that would constitute it, huh?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
So a family is a different. So we have, you know, currently we have a mom and raising two adults. Disabled children that can't be independent on their own, or we actually have a mom with five kids, whatever makes up your family unit.
So these aren't right intact now, families then, they're not the traditional nuclear family.
No, there's not usually a two-parent household. I think I have maybe one out of the 16 right now that's a two-family household.
So you're the case manager for the apartment. So do you meet with them every week?
Yeah, so I meet with each family on a weekly or biweekly basis, and we start on your basic goals of whatever kind of brought you into homelessness and whatever kind of those triggers are that continue to not let you get to the successes that you are to set for yourself in life. And a lot of times we see folks come in 6 months, they're doing great, and then you'll see the kids start to get uncomfortable because they're so used to being from here to there and everywhere. They're afraid, hey, we've been comfortable too long, so what's going to happen next? So then we start to settle them back down, and then the same thing happens with the parents. And so they're just, it's like too good to be true type thing. So they're not just not used to people being supportive and nice. And then, you know, people don't just come in your house all the time and pray with you and then work for your goals. It's not, unfortunately, it's not what we see all the time in the world anymore. And so they're just not used to it. And then once they get settled, it takes about a year, year and a half, they start really blossoming, and it's really, really awesome to watch them. And I found out the ones that I see fail are the ones that just haven't had that faith piece in their life. And as soon as they figure it out, it's really, really awesome to watch them go.
Well, that faith, we never give faith enough credit. About how God has put the family together, and God is the glue that holds the family together. Now, Brandy, how do people get into your program?
So you have to be street or shelter homeless, and then once you've done that, you get established with one of our street outreach workers in either Northern Kentucky or Cincinnati. You complete an assessment with one of them, you'll get a score, and if your score is high enough for the standardized testing assessments that are HUD has set up for us, then and we have an opening, you're the next biggest to come on our list. And there's no questions asked after that point. We get the documentation we need and we move you in.
Now, if someone's not qualified for that, do you have other things that could help them during that difficult period?
Yeah, so we have a housing counselor. Her name's Patty Anderson. She's pretty amazing. So her and I will sit down. If we have somebody come in our office that's just not eligible for this program, her and I will work closely to try to figure out what their barriers are that's keeping them from finding a place, and then work on increasing income, self-esteem, finding landlords that are going to work with them, getting them either Section 8 vouchers or, you know, different programs that are out there that aren't so restricted as this program can be at times.
Now, are these the housing available is becoming more and more restricted because, again, of gentrification and other things, and there just aren't any other places that you can find where you can set this stuff up, I guess, huh?
Yeah, so what's happened is HUD basically took the same mentality that you have in an emergency room. The person with a heart attack is going to be served first, other than someone sitting there with a cold. And so that's how kind of the scores are based on. And so it's wanting you to get the first, they're most vulnerable off the streets and in housing. And then those that have that, you know, lesser score, to really work with them to show that, hey, I think you guys can do this. And sometimes it works. And then sometimes you find out the folks that have, you know, a lesser score on an assessment doesn't necessarily mean that there's not a lot going on. They may have not just disclosed it at first. And so that's when we see sometimes we have to move some folks around and, you know, work on it a little bit harder. And but it's really scarce. Housing is extremely scarce, and so I think that was the other issue is, hey, we need to be really serving these folks that need it first and that can't do this on their own.
We're speaking here with Brandy Madal, who is a case manager for St. Joseph Apartments for Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Covington. Now, Brandy, what could our listeners do to help Catholic Charities with this challenge you're facing?
You know, the first thing I tell you is to pray. Second thing I say is, if you're a landlord, give folks a chance. You know, really meet, you know, some of us have choice vouchers where it's not so much of a, you know, congregant living, so they can give a voucher to a client that may qualify and they can go look for housing that route. And so I just encourage landlords to give them a try. And then just when you see folks out that are homeless, don't judge them. Try to figure out, you know, how can I pray for that person today? How can I just, you know, wish them a Merry Christmas, how can I just bless them in some other way than trying to judge them.
Well, Brandy, you know you're carrying out one of the most important gospel things. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were without a home when they had to go to Bethlehem, and they had to stay in a cave or a stable because there was no room in the inn. And so I think your ministry takes on an important, even more important role this time of year. Thank you for what you're doing and for giving us the stuff we need to know about what Catholic Charities doing in Columbus to help people who are having trouble finding homes. If people want to find out more information, where can they go and do that?
You can go to our website at www.covingtoncharities.org, and then you can click on the Think There's a Performance, and you can find us from there.